Rasa Panchadaya, chapter 29, verse 1. Shivarai Niravacha, Bhagavan Napita Ratri, Sharut Pulamalika, Vikshirantam Manaschakre, Yogamayam Upashrita. When Bhagavan Sri Krishna saw the full moon night of the Sharad season, he decorated himself with various seasonal flowers, especially the Malika flowers, which are very fragrant. Krishna remembered the gopis, how they had prayed to Goddess Katyayani, and they prayed to the goddess for Krishna to be their husband. Krishna thought that the full moon night, Sharad Purnima, was just suitable for a rasa dance. So that, by that arrangement, the desire of the Braja Gopis would be fulfilled to have Krishna as their husband. We're discussing the last line, Yogamayam Upashrita. This word, Upashrita, it seems like one word, Upashrita. Ashraya and Upa. Ashraya means shelter, refuge, to turn to. Upa means fully, completely, absolutely, totally. Upashrita. Yogamayam Upashrita. It means that Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, turned fully to Yogamaya. Interesting point the acharyas make on this particular word. So this one particular word is the most significant word in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, as far as words go. Upashrita. They even say that nowhere in the 12 cantos of Bhagavatam, in any of the 12 cantos, and nowhere in any of the 18,000 verses will you find this word, Upashrita. You may find Ashraya, but this word Upashrita is once out of 18,000 shlokas. And referring to Bhagavan, that Swatantra Sarva Avatari Purnatam Krishna, Sri Krishna, that he took complete and full shelter of Yogamaya, this is the most astounding and exceptional, unique event in the whole history of the Bhagavatam. Nowhere you will find in any canto that Vishnu or Ram or Krishna is taking full shelter of Yogamaya. The Acharya's comments are quite revealing and amazing. They say, before this incident, so many pastimes of Krishna and Bhagavan in his various forms, Dasavatar Leela, Ram Leela, Krishna Leela, Nisringa, all throughout the Bhagavatam. And Krishna himself interacting with the Pandavas in Hastinapur in first canto. Krishna himself, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, is also mentioned. Nowhere before this Rasa-lila pastime in 10:29 through 33, and nowhere after this pastime, is this word Upashrita used in relation or reference to Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So it stands out like the moon in the night. So brilliant and so significant. What is the significance? Some of the points we already mentioned, but that God is taking, the omnipotent Lord is taking complete shelter of his Yogamaya. And it's just unique. That means that so many pastimes in the Bhagavatam, there's so many forms of Bhagavan, and even Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. But no pastimes like this. Never before, never after. So by using this unique once in the whole Bhagavatam, book, Upashrita, Bhagavan Yogamaya Upashrita. This shows that there must be something very special about this pastime. Must be something very unique and transcendental. That in order to enact and perform this Leela, this Rasa Krita, this dance of divine love, then Bhagavan, he needs his own omnipotency and his own power is not great enough to make the arrangement for this romantic night with all the Braja Gopis. Although he's omnipotent, he's a supreme Parameshwara Sri Krishna, he needs some more power. He has to call from within himself, take full shelter of his own internal power potency, Yogamaya Shakti. Otherwise, simply by thinking, as we say in the Bible, by his will, God creates. Icha Shakti. Krishna's Icha Shakti automatically fulfills his desires. But this particular desire to interact with the gopis, he needed the help, became dependent on, and turned to another of his own Shaktis, Yogamaya, Devi, Antaranga Shakti, which shows, as we mentioned, unique pastime of Rasalila, that all the demon killing, Krishna killed the most powerful demons, Rakshasis, Putana, Agasura, Bakasura, then Ravana. Ravana was so powerful. And then Krishna easily defeated him without calling on Yogamaya, without taking shelter of any other power, not even calling for his big brother's help. He just, one punch, finished, Kans, the Asura was finished. But he needs some extra power. In other words, if you're going to fight an enemy, you have an enemy is very strong, you better have lots of allies. It's called the allied nations. When there's a war in a very powerful country, many smaller countries have to get together to fight that superpower. Like World War II was like that. There's one country and it's fighting the whole world. So it's allied forces. So Krishna alone, he can't fight this opponent. It's not an enemy. The opponent is the power and omnipotency of the Brajagopi's love. This is his opponent. On one side is Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Ajit, Achyuta, undefeated, infallible. On the other side, it's the Abalas, the Braja Ramanis, the Braja Abalas. Abala, Abala. Means they have lotus stem arms, very thin swan-like necks, very tender and gentle bodies, very beautiful, attractive and charming. But they don't have bulging muscles. What power do they have? They have heart power. The power of Prem Shakti. This Prem Sankarshan. And Krishna is thinking, I have some very formidable opposition here. My love is great, but the gopis' love is greater. Yogamaya, please help me. So this shows how, as I mentioned, how great the gopis' love. Krishna can vanquish the greatest demons with one fist or simply the back of his hand. He hits one demon with the back of his hand and sends him flying. Another demon, he kicks him. Another demon, he takes a blade of grass and hits him in his form of, not a demon, but Krishna can kill with a blade of grass or anything. But the gopis love, Yogamaya, come on, help me make this arrangement. So the acharyas are making these points. Just see that the all-powerful Bhagavan becomes defeated by the power of love, and he has to disempower himself and say, okay, Yogamaya, make the arrangement. Which, as we mentioned, proves his omnipotency. Omnipotency, or having all power, means that within your storehouse of unlimited powers, that you also have the power to disempower yourself, to reduce or diminish or remove your powers when another power comes before you, and that's the power of love. Everyone knows that love is the greatest force in the whole world. They say love moves the world. Love is the greatest force. In the Bible, they say love moves mountains. Love moves mountains, and love moves me to you, or you to me. It's love. It works with Krishna also. He's Purushottam, the Supreme Person. So he has all the qualities, the good, divine, romantic, powerful qualities that we have, but unlimited. So this word, Upashrita, is very significant. In fact, the acharyas, they explain that this word, Upashrita, Yogamayam Upashrita, in relation to Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, it actually announces the greatest quality of Bhagavan. Usually we think of Bhagavan means the absolute truth, the supreme being, the creator, the maintainer, the destroyer, the fulfiller of desires. He gives us our daily bread. Oh God, give us our bread. People pray. He gives to us. He helps us. He protects us. This is the general idea of the Supreme Lord. He's the Supreme Father. He's God. He's our friend. He's always there. But the idea that And those are qualities that he's loyal and he's strong and powerful and kind and generous and charitable and protects us and he's always with us. These are qualities of God which are good and desirable. But what is his greatest quality? Is his greatest quality is omnipotency to create everything and all the seasons and planets and everything's moving so systematically? Or is his greatest quality to maintain this whole existence with air and sun and light and water and food and so many fruits and vegetables and herbal medicines and oshadis and all these things? His greatest quality is his charitableness. Is his greatest quality his power and self-sufficiency? Acharya is saying that this word upashrita, that Krishna resorts to yoga maya because he becomes controlled by the power of love, this is the greatest quality of Bhagavan Sri Krishna, that he allows himself, he disempowers himself and allows himself to be conquered by love, controlled by the power of love. Anyone's love? Not any category of devotee's love, only the gopi's love. The Braja gopi's love is so powerful that they fully control Krishna. As I said, cited an example in early classes, that the gopis say, Krishna, hey Bhagavan, Gopal, in Gokul Lila, I'll give you one ladu if you dance. So the elderly gopis, the motherly gopis, the gopamatas of Gokul, they're clapping their hands and singing songs, glorifying Gopal, and glorifying his cows or calves, his lilas, in Gokul. And then Krishna's dancing per their wish, per their order. Oh, you ordered me to dance? Yes. Dasosmi. Bhagavan is dancing because they asked him to? No, because they love him so much. They love him more than they love themselves. But then he's controlled by their love. God is dancing for a ladu? Lakshminath? Who in this world will dance around for 10 minutes for one ladu? You simply take 5 rupees and buy one. What's the point? But it's love. Love, 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 that's what they say. Everyone says, but no one feels. Everyone says, but no one finds. No one finds it, no one feels it. But it's an endless search. But the gopis found it, and Krishna found it in them, and they found it in Krishna. So the lesson we can learn from the gopis is that if we love Krishna so unequivocally and absolutely, like the gopis, then Krishna will come to us. He'll call us. He'll remember us. Because we're supposed to remember God. I may be remembering God, but what if he's not remembering me? Like someone says, they call you, oh, I was remembering you. I had such good memories of you. Were you thinking of me? Actually, no. Not at all. Oh, that doesn't make me feel good. You know, sometimes the bhaktas, they say, oh, I offer so many stutis to Vishnu Sahasranam, Gopal Sahasranam, day after day, month after month. Is Gopal hearing me? Is Krishna, is Vishnu hearing me? Hey, Vishnu, 1,000 names of Vishnu, twice a day. I've been chanting for 20 years. I think his phone is disconnected. I think his number is disconnected. He never picks up my call. Or it's on silent. Maybe his cell phone, Vishnu's mobile is on silent. 1,000 names and it takes me 15 minutes. And Bhagavan's busy. He hears, but he's sometimes a little slow to respond. Depends on the intensity of the petition and the depth of the submission. The greater the petition and the greater the submission, then your prayers will be gain admission to Vishnu's heart. Some devotees are so great and so surrendered and so needing. They really need Bhagavan. We pray to Bhagavan, but we need money. Oh, Bhagavan, Vishnu Sahasranam, I need you, I want you, but actually I need money. So if a true Sharanagata Jeev, a surrendered soul, he understands, he realizes, actually, all I need is God. All I need is the attention of God, the service of God, and the love of God. And He'll do everything else. But who has that vishwas? Who has that shraddha? It comes after lakhs and lakhs of janams, thousands and thousands of lives, where someone can say, "Hey Bhagavan, I'm yours. I don't need anything. I just need your mercy." And then he throws himself at the feet of God. In Christianity, they say the leap of faith. Okay, I'll leave everything. I won't enter into anything. I have my education. And I have an elder brother, and he gets married and takes care of my mother and father. And I beg my mother and father, please give me permission. I'm going to search for God. And if your parents are kind-hearted and understanding, they'll say, your older brother is there to take care of us. Go. Go with our blessings. May you find God in your search for self-realization. Then he travels, searching for God. Where is God? Where is God? This is the rare individual, that sadhu, that gets that divine call, the clarion call to search for Bhagavan. So this word establishes the greatest quality of love. And the greatest quality of Bhagavan, that he's controlled by the pure love of his devotees. And we have practical experience. We're personalities. Krishna's a personality. We have relationships with friends and family and our wives or other friends. And so in these relationships, love is the basic element. It's the working element, which are the principle being exchanged. Love between parents and children, love between friends, love between husbands and wives, or young men and women, whatever. So this is working with God also. And in the material world, we see it, as I mentioned, that love is controlling everything. If someone can love, if someone can actually love, then he also can allow himself to be controlled by love. But if a human being doesn't know how to love, then he will never allow himself to be controlled by love. Because he's fearing that he'll lose his independence, and he'll lose his control, and he'll lose his ego. Oh, my lover is controlling me. My lover is forcing my ego to bend down. My lover is forcing me to submit myself to the power of love. No, no, no. You know who I am? It's like this. Even people get married, but there's no real love. There's no actual submission of the heart. In marriage, many marriages, the husband doesn't fully submit his heart to the heart of his wife. More often like that. Generally, the wives are more submitting their hearts to their husband. But the husband's like, okay, husbands have the attitude, that's your duty. That's your duty to submit your whole heart to me. But me, I'm a little aloof. I care, I don't care. This is the general scheme of things. Because to understand and to feel love and compassion in Kali Yuga is very difficult and rare to find. It's a little bit of a troubled age. People are preoccupied with their personal problems and their own insufficiencies and desires. And it's very hard to become absorbed in the service of another or the life of another. It's the ages like that. Not always. Imagine Krishna, Karuna, he's Bhaktivatsalya, Bhagavan. Bhaktivatsalya, we say the quality of Bhagavan is Bhaktivatsalya. Draupadi's calling out for Vishnu. Hey Vishnu, Govinda, Damodar, Madhav. These are all names of Vishnu also. When we mark our body with the tilak, the kavacha, nam kavacha, Vishnu nam, the tilak. These are all names of various of the 24 forms of Vishnu in the standard tilak mantra. Madhava, Govinda, Damodar. But they also are similar. They're names that refer to Krishna also. But that's not the intention. So she's calling out for protection. Oh, Vishnu, save me. Be affectionate to me. Look my way. Help me. So he's affectionate to his devotees. Draupadi's name, from the time of birth, her name was Krishna. Second name, I think, was Krishna. Because she was so much absorbed in Krishna, in Bhagavan, so much attached to worshiping the Lord, and her whole mind was like that. So then he showed his affection. Oh, Krishna, Bhagavan is affectionate, Bhaktivatsalya. But Krishna, obviously Krishna is Bhaktivatsalya. because he's Bhagavan. But Yogamaya Upashrita, that quality of Upashrita, of Krishna, Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, taking full shelter of his internal Yogamaya potency, you'll not find with the other forms of Bhaktavatsala, Bhaktavatsalya Bhagavan, in Ram or in Vishnu. Nowhere in Shastra. So the Acharyas, they see this one word. To us, it's one word, 170 shlokas and charpada in each one. And there's so many words. This is one word, but that one word to them is like oceans of meaning, oceans of significance in terms of tattva. And then Leela. How powerful are the gopis? How unique is Ras Leela? There's thousands in Ananta Leelam. Bhagavan has Ananta Leelam in his various forms and universes, different kalpas, this kalpa, another kalpa. Leela, Leela, Ananta Leelam. It's told in the Shastra that Bhagavan has as many pastimes, as many Leelas as there are waves on the ocean. Waves on the ocean. Can you count the number of waves on the ocean? Impossible. Ananta Leelam. Our Gurudev was telling that in the Dasama Skanda, 10th count of Braj Leela, it lists some asur or rakshash that Krishna killed or vanquished or drove out of Vrindavan, like Kaliya Daman. He drove Kaliya away. And so many demons, Bakasura, Agasura, he vanquished them. And in the Bhagavatam, it lists about 20 demons. But actually, my Gurudev said that every day before Krishna took his tiffin, every day before Krishna and Balaram and all the gopas and gwals, sukkas, they sat by the Yamuna for their noon tiffin, prasad, or bhoga. Krishna would kill 2 demons a day. Krishna would vanquish 2 demons a day from Braj. And he lived in Braj for 11 years. Three years or so in Gokul, 3 years in Chatikar, and the balance of time in Nandagaon, in his Boma Vrindavan, Naralila. That's a lot of demons. Every year too, that's, 720 demons a year. Right? 2 a day. 720 demons a year times 10. 7,200 demons. Now just imagine how many unlimited demon desires we have in our minds. We may have 7,200 demoniac or negative ungodly desires every day appearing in our mind. So this gives the idea. Shukamuni and Vyasadeva, they describe only 20 of them, just to give the general picture of the thing. If you think, we may think, oh, it's such a struggle in this world, so much obstacles and opposition in my business and difficulties with my in-laws and my family, and I have to overcome this obstacle and that obstacle, and I get greedy, then I get lusty, then I get envious. Oh, it's so much such a battle. It's a war against Maya. Well, Bhagavan had a hard time also. Bhagavan had a really hard time. He's just going out to play and jump and climb the trees and imitate the monkeys and jump in the Jamuna and splash water with his friends and play ball and take Amalaki and hit like a baseball. Then, hey, Ari, Kone, Agasura. So Krishna, it's like every day, 2 demons. So Vyasa Muni wants to spare us, otherwise we may cry. It would make the Bhagavatam very long. If he had to tell 7,200 demon kill Asur Mardana Leelas, then it would take a 10th count, would be very long. So you get the idea that it's not easy street. It's not easy street, as we say in America. Even God has a bumpy ride. Even God's ride is a little bumpy sometimes. He's playing his flute, all the boys are dancing around him, and they're picking flowers and they're throwing at him. Then they stop under a tree. One boy says, sit down, Krishna. And Krishna sits under a tree and a boy covers his eyes. Krishna, who is covering your eyes? Subal? No. As all the boys say, no. Sridham? No. Balaram? No. So they play this game. Guess who's covering your eyes? And sometimes boys are very playful. They say, Krishna, in my pocket, I have a sweetmeat. A very nice piece of burfi. It's walnut raisin date burfi. It's a very special Western type. I have a special burfi, very thick and creamy and buttery and sweet and just melts in your mouth. Do you like one? You want one? Huh? So, okay, close your eyes, open your mouth, and I'll put the burfi right in your mouth. You don't even have to waste your energy to lift it. You just sit there and enjoy. Then, this naughty little coward boy, he picked a dandelion, a yellow dandelion, a little weed that grows in the fields. And it's very pungent and it's not a piece of burfi. And then he breaks off the flower from the stem and he goes, pop! He puts it in Krishna's mouth and Krishna, ah! Oh no! What's that? That's not burfi. That's blah! So, this is how they play. So they're playing like this and all of a sudden here comes Bakasura, this huge duck with evil intentions. He wants to kill Krishna. Spoil the whole day. Spoil the morning. But it became a whole leela. Krishna's fearless. He's abhay. And then he ended up playing with this character, this Bakasura, and to show his prowess. Hey boys, watch this. And he split him in half. Split his beak in half. Because he was bifurcated. His brain was in two pieces, bifurcated. His beak was like this. He had two halves, and Krishna said, your two halves are wrong. Split him. Just imagine, as we're discussing the power of love in this world, how love can make us move and dance and cry and laugh and fly in the sky with joy. And love can make us cry for 3 days in our pillow. Put our head in our pillow. Woo-hoo. Love is like this. It's so powerful. It makes us dance, makes us sleep, cry. Take shelter of some beverages. So we can understand very pragmatically and graphically the power of material love. Lokic prem, material love. Now just imagine, stretch your imagination. How powerful is divine sacred love of God? That highest percentage, highest expression of total selflessness, dedication, absorption, and giving that the gopis have, that intensity and purity and charm of their love, how much power that has to control Parameshwara Krishna, unlimited power. Krishna has ananta shakti. He's Bhagavan. He has ananta shakti, unlimited shakti. And the gopis are abala, braja abala, the braja ramanis, braja abala. They're abala, but they're atibala. Very interesting. They're abala. The braja gopis are abala, but they're atibala. Abal means no power. Weak little girls, 35 kilos, whatever, small girls, young girls. Abal, no strength. But they're atibal. What is the source of their atibal? Or their excessive, intensified, powerful strength? It is their love. It is their love which is the power. Power is love. Love. Love power. So this is the power of the gopis. Love, the uniqueness. So this word, Yogamaya Upashritam, we study, explain Yogamaya. So Upashritam, this word, which is nowhere found in the entire Bhagavatam, before the Rasalila or after the Rasalila, you can't find it. But here you can find it. Because in this one word, it shows the power of the gopis' love, unlimited, vast love. It shows the power of the Rasalila, that no other Leela, no other pastimes of creation, destruction, or any kind of Sakya Leelas, Sakya Rasalilas, or Vatsalya, Krishna has to take full shelter, Upashrita, not Ashray or Ashrita, Upashrita, Upa, complete, full, absolute refuge, shelter, turning to, depending on his Yogamaya Shakti to accomplish this Rasalila. So someone can say Rasalila is material or something lokic, totally, absolutely wrong. This is established by this word, which is the end of the verse. Now we'll begin verse 2. Haribo. The first three verses of the 10th canto, chapter 29, are describing the setting, the scene. So far, we have heard about the Nayak, the hero of the drama, the hero of the love story, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And we've heard about Kaladeshan Patra, the time, Purnima, the place, Sridham Vrindavan, in the autumn season. And the Kala is the month, and the time of night is midnight, Madhyarat. And what is the environment? What are the props of the play, the environmental factors, the weather? What kind of weather was it? If you meet a friend and he describes some event. Oh, I went to the Wimbledon tennis championship. Oh, it rained for 3 days, as it usually does in England. Rain. And then this person was playing, the top-ranked tennis player from Russia was playing, etc. You all know these things. So then we describe the event. So Shukadev Goswami is describing the event which is about to take place. The greatest show on earth. The most spectacular dance that has ever been enacted by the most spectacular form of Bhagavad. Bhagavan Sri Krishna is so attractive, so uniquely beautiful, and exceptionally enchanting that Lakshmi Devi leaves Narayan to attain the darshan of Krishna. Lakshmi Devi leaves Vaikuntha, leaves her palace, leaves her gold, comes to Brajadam to try to gain entrance to have darshan of Krishna's Rasalila. She's supreme spiritual potency, the divine consort of Vishnu, Narayan. So she's coming to Rasalila because is it a dance show or just some ordinary dance? She's coming because it's the quintessence, the quintessential expression of sacred divine love between Bhagavan and his consort, between Bhagavan and his Shakti. But in this case, it's not Bhagavan Narayan, it's Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And the Shaktis are not the Lakshmis, but it's the Braja Devis, the Braja Ramani, Radhika, Lalita Vishaka. She came to see them and to see Krishna. She couldn't enter though. It shows the power of Krishna's love, the power of his attraction. There's another Leela wherein Vasant Vras, Vasant Purnima, this is the Maharas in Sharad season, but in spring season there's a Ras Leela in Govardhan, Chandra Sarovara. And there, Krishna leaves the Rasa dance. The gopis are searching for Krishna. This is in Padma Purana and many other places. And Krishna hears the gopis coming. Many, many gopis are coming. Where is Krishna? Krishna kahan, Krishna kahan. Then they're coming very close and there's nowhere to run or hide. So then Krishna thinks of a plan. I have to camouflage my identity. I have to disguise myself. So then he appears because Bhagavan Sri Krishna is Sarva Avatari. All the avatars, Vishnu, everyone is within him, inside. If he wants to expand, he can become Chaturbhuj Narayan, he can become Nrisimhadev, he can become anyone, any form of Godhead, because he's Swayam Bhagavan, the origin of them all. So whatever suits his needs, if he needs to become Vishnu to kill some demon, then Vishnu comes out and kills the demon. Because Krishna never kills, Krishna only plays. Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna is the play lord. He's called Leela Purushottam. Leela Purushottam means the lord of play. He plays. He sings, he dances, he embraces, he kisses, he eats, he sleeps. He's the Leela Purushottam. But Aishvarya Purushottam, Aishvarya Purushottam Ram, Aishvarya Purushottam Vishnu, Narayan. They kill demons and do so many things, but Krishna never kills demons. Vishnu comes out and does the dirty work, so to speak. Vishnu does it. Krishna just sings and dances and plays. He's Rasaraj. He doesn't want to get his fingers dirty or wet with blood. He plays his, and if Krishna by chance has to kill a demon, this is, of course, this is Vasudeva, the Devaki Nandan, or Vasudeva Nandan, the son of Vasudev, Kurukshetra Krishna, or Dwarka Krishna, when he goes to Hastinapur and he has to kill this Shishupal. Shishupal, even then he doesn't get his hands dirty. It is explained when Shishupal was beheaded or his head was cut off by Krishna, that he threw his chakra, zip, zip, zoom, and cut off his head, Shishupal's head. And the chakra carried Shishupal's head like on a tali. His head was sitting on the tali of the chakra. And it went like this, off his head, off his body, he was decapitated, beheaded, and went right out of the Yajnashala, this Rajasuya Yajnashala, and went out and went 1 mile away and landed on the ground. And it was such an expert surgery, head surgery. Krishna did head surgery, Bhagavan, that not one drop of blood. He cut off his beheaded Shishupal and automatically cauterized. He cauterized all his arteries and veins. He sealed them all. So not one drop of blood fell in the Rajasuya Yajna in Hastinapur when King Yudhisthira was doing a massive yajna to establish the Lord and King of the world. Rajasuya Yajna. Just see the expertise. So this is the beginning of surgery. Krishna started the science of surgery by cutting off Shishupal's head. Not a drop of blood fell, the acharyas say. So if some contamination, some dosh, some contamination, a drop of blood falls in the Yajnashala, it's all ashud, a mangal. The whole thing comes to a crashing halt. And the Rajasuya Yajna took 1 year, at least 1 year, to prepare the whole yajna. The grounds and the pujas and the mangala yajnas and so many things to get everything adjusted just perfectly. The right nakshatra, the right titi, the right mosam, everything. And hawa, directions, many, many things. It took 1 year. So Krishna was not about to spoil Yudhisthira, his best friend's yajna. But again, he didn't get his hands dirty. So this is the power of their love. So we'll begin this second verse. This is chapter 29, verse 2. In all these verses, 1, 2, and 3, they establish the hero, the setting, the time, the place, all romantic, a very romantic setting. Midnight. The full moon. It's just hanging in the sky. And Krishna's remembering the gopis by seeing Udipan, exciting stimulants and factors in the environment. A reddish moon reminds Krishna of the gopis. And the flowers, the blossoming Malika, remind Krishna of the Malika Mala around Radharani's neck. But they remind Krishna of, everything is reminding Krishna of his beloved. This is Madhurya Bhav. Madhurya Bhav, Parakya Bhav, Madhurya Rati. And all these are stimulants or excitants from the environment, from nature, that awaken one's romantic feelings of love, his amorous feelings of conjugal love. The moonshine, the gentle breeze, the dark forest, the Yamuna, the blossoming lotus flowers, the Komudi flowers at night, the fragrance, the intoxicating fragrance of the Malika flowers, the time of the year, very hot days in Sharad, as Indians know, the days are very hot. Then the cooling moon gives relief from the heat of the day, and by midnight, then the air has become very comforting. Take some time after sunset, 3, 4, 5 hours, by midnight, very nice atmosphere. The air is a little cool and refreshing. Perfect arrangement for a dance with a lover. Perfect arrangement for a romantic interlude with the most beautiful ladies in the universe. The most charming, enchanting, sweet, affectionate, and beautiful ladies in all creation. Krishna's own expansion in Brajagopis. So in verse 2, we'll hear how gradually the drama means emotion, the emotional buildup. This happened, then that happened, then this happened. So enter the hero. Bhagavan Apita Ratri. Nighttime. And then enter the elements of this drama, the props, the stage. Sweet, attractive, enchanting, romantic. Now, bring Krishna's mind closer to the gopis. So this verse is also part of the Udipan. Udipan Vichar. The consideration of the factors which bring about this love story, which nourish and enhance and push this love story along to climax of the actual Ras Lila. Step by step, scene by scene, act by act. As of yet, we're in verse 2, we only have a Nayak, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, and a romantic atmosphere and landscape, Brajadam, midnight, charit season. Tado Duraja Kakuba Karer Mukham Pratya Vilimpan Aranena Shantame Sacharshaninam Udagat Chucho Mrijan Priya Priyaya Eva Dirga Darshana. Translation. Then the king of the stars, Chandrama, the full moon rose, anointing the face of the eastern sky with the reddish hues of his comforting rays. And thus, that rising reddish full moon and Sharad dispelled and removed all the pain of those who watched the moon rise. The moon, Chandrama, Sharad Purnima, was like a beloved husband who returns to his wife and his home after a long absence. And he affectionately and gently adorns the face of his beloved with a reddish coloring of kumkum powder. This is verse number 2. In this verse, now we're getting the hint. We only heard about a person, Krishna, the Nayak. And we heard about an environment, Brajadam. But we didn't hear any allusion to, no indication indicating ladies or women or relationship of man and woman. It has not been given in verse 1. But now in verse 2, again the environment, the king of the moon, the king of the stars, Udaraj, and then the night, the king, the moon and the stars. So there's a comparison here. There's the moon, Chandrama, who is male, and the stars, Taragan, who are female. Then the analogy deepens from a moon and stars, which seem like impersonal, ordinarily. How is moon and stars related to a gopa and a gopi? And then the verse goes deeper and says that moon is acting like a human being. It is karai. It's karai, karai mukam. The sky is taken on a face. This eastern direction. Purva dig. Purva dig has a muk, a face. And with the hands of his rays, his comforting rays, Chandra is wiping or rubbing on the face of the eastern direction personified this beautiful, affectionate, kumkum powder. Then that's the first part of the verse. So now we have an idea. Oh, there's some exchange between husbands and wives or lovers and beloved, which is pointing the direction that the Leela will go in. It's not only Krishna and the full moon, but it's Krishna and some female personalities, the Taragan or the Purva Dig. The eastern direction is the wife of Indradev. In our Vedic Shastras. And then the analogy becomes closer to home because then Shukadeva Goswami compares. As the moon anointed the face of the eastern direction with his reddish rays of his full moon, like a husband, a beloved husband, separated from his wife. When he returns home, we'll rub reddish kumkum on her moon-like face to give it a glow and make her happy and again reunite. Well, there's so much imagery here which connects this, these images and metaphors are connected to Krishna and the gopis. The gopis are separated from Krishna like a husband away from his wife. It's Purva Rag. Many gopis, until this night, they have never met Krishna and never danced with him, met him personally. So this is 10:29:2. So many emotional elements, romantic elements, metaphors to, these are romantic metaphors. These are Madhurya metaphors, amorous metaphors, coloring of face, the eastern direction, and husband and wife with kunkum. So now let's understand this verse in a deeper way. The first word is Uduraja. Uduraja. Uduraja, Udu means night, and Raj means king, the Lord, the king of the night. This is a very beautiful Sanskrit way of saying Purnamasi or Purnima or Chandrama, full moon. You can say Purnachandra, very straightforward description of full moon, Purnachandra. It's Chandra, it's the moon, and it's full on Purnima. But in Sanskrit, kavi or poetry, they want to make everything very beautiful and everything very personal and connect everything, depending on the poetry. If it's a love story with Sanskrit poetry, Sanskrit being used to describe a love story, then the metaphors and the comparisons, analogies, comparisons, will be utilizing the innuendos of Madhurya, conjugal love, amorous love. So Uduraj. So the full moon has suddenly become a king. Full moon just means that planet, the moon, is at its fullest expression of light, Purnima, one day a month. When you say now you compare the moon to a person, of course he is, Chandradev, but he's a king. And a king means he has subjects. Then it becomes much more closer to us and more intimate and a relationship. So they're telling that this idea that the moon, it has two functions. This Uduraj. Because he's actually the king, not only of the stars, but he's the king of the Ras Lila. The moon is initiating the whole Ras Lila. Uduraj. Sharad Utpala Malika, the Sharad Purnima. So the moon has two functions. One is to illuminate, and the other is to stimulate. The moon acts in a very practical way to illuminate the entire Ras Mandal. For example, at night, you need some lighting. If you have a pandal at night, you need some generator, some electric lighting. So this is a dance in the middle of the forest on the banks of the Yamuna. So some lighting is required. So Krishna arranged the full moon, and it rose exactly when he wanted it to, not according to the panchang, which we established earlier. It's supposed to rise at 7 o'clock on Purnima. And this particular day, it rose at 11 o'clock at night, 11:30. It wasn't to be seen because he moves according to the will of Krishna, the spiritual moon of Vrindavan. So Krishna went out to the forest and he started playing his flute. And he thought, oh, it's a little dark here. How will I see the beautiful faces of the gopis? The Arunena Anana. How will I see their beautiful faces, their sweet smiles without some moonlight? I don't want some camera lights. I don't want bright camera lights shining in my eyes or in the gopis' eyes. I want soft light. Soft, original, natural, asli bisli, original light. Komala gobi, komala kiran. Gentle rays, soft rays of the moon. Romantic, cooling, refreshing, soothing. Nourishing, full moonlight. So then he starts playing and thinking, moon, ow, jaldi ow. Moon goes, zhoop. Moon rises in the sky. There it is, right above Krishna's head. And then Krishna's playing, leaning on the banyan tree, the Bamshivat. Acha, very good. Everything works in harmony in Brajadham. Everyone cooperates for the center. Everywhere center, nowhere circumference. This is Brajadham. Everywhere center, nowhere circumference. But in the material world, everywhere is circumference and no center. Well, I have my circle of interest and you have your circle of interest and there's no common center. Therefore, there's wars, there's arguments, there's clashes. The material world is everywhere circumference, nowhere center point. My circumference of my personal interest, circle of interest, and your circumference of your area of personal interest. But in Goloka Dham, in Krishna's land, everywhere center, nowhere, the center is one, and everyone orbits around Krishna, just like the Rasa dance. Krishna plays in the center with a Shakti, Shakti, Shaktiman, Abheda. Radha and Krishna are inseparable. They stand there, Shakti and Shaktiman. Purusha and Prakriti. Adi Purusha, Adi Prakriti. Prema Shraya, Prema Vishaya. And every other gopi goes in a circle around and around. And sometimes Krishna joins the circle. Harmony. Common center. Krishna's love. Krishna's service. Krishna's happiness. But here's the world of disharmony. Humans create the disharmony, not God. God is a harmony maker. Bhagavan Sri Krishna is a harmony maker and mankind is a harmony breaker. Open your eyes. Family harmony? No. Friend to friend harmony? Inner harmony? Inner harmony means balance. Many instruments playing together. Violin and cello and piano and trumpets and so many instruments. Stringed, wind and percussion. And they're all playing together harmoniously. No one's playing out of key or out of tal. This is the spiritual world. So the moon appears and Krishna's playing. And then as the moon, he starts thinking, as this is saying, so the moon is the king. So he stimulates. First, everything is illumined. The whole Rasmandal is illumined. All the forests, the gentle rays of the moon. Then the moon actually stimulates. We'll understand how many different ways that the full moon stimulates this world and the entities in this world. So firstly, the analogy of Krishna as the king. Udaraj is the moon, the king of the stars. So king of the stars, the connection here, the implication, the parokshavad, the implied meaning of Shukadeva Goswami is that there's the king in the stars. The king and his subjects. And the stars in Indian Jyotishi, the stars are called Tara. Chandra and Tara. You have a puzzle and you throw the pieces on the ground. One by one, you can fit all the pieces, the cutout, the jigsaw cutout pieces from the puzzle. You can fit them all back together again. A child might have a game of a puzzle and it's all the states of India. Uttarakhand and UP, etc. And the whole thing together is India, subcontinent. Then you dump it out and there's 30 states and they have different shape. It's called a puzzle. So in this drama, because it's Sanskrit, it's the Bhagavad, it's perfect, it's Vedic, everything fits together. It's like a puzzle. When you put the puzzle together, you find Radha and Krishna, Prema Lingata. You put all the pieces of the Ras Leela together, all the verses, you find Radha and Krishna, Prema Lingata. Radha and Krishna embracing and dancing in the circle of love, the celebration of divine love, Rasa Leela. So each verse is a puzzle piece on the whole love story. It's integral, necessary for the puzzle and the love story. So therefore, Udaraj. Udaraj, king, king, subjects, king, queen, implies many things which are applicable to Krishna. Udaraj is describing the moon, also describing Krishna. The moon is reddish. It's describing the color of the moon rays, reddish at the rise. It's also describing the faces of the gopis. So many connections here. So Udaraj, the king. So he's the king, which means he has many subjects. And when the king appears before the subjects, they all bow down. Become submissive. In the analogy, the king rises, the king of the moon rises, and all the Taragon, thousands of stars who are twinkling so brightly before the king appears, they bow down in submission to their king. They become soft, practically invisible. Because the Prabhav, Chandra Prabhav, Uddharaj Prabhav, the influence of the moon is so great that he eclipses all the subjects. This is one part. Another part is a king, a king's quality of a Raja, the Samrat, the emperor, the king. He has proprietorship. He has proprietorship over everyone. He can tell someone, he can tell his men, cut off his head. Oh, give him 1 crore rupees. Build a house. His subjects, the king controls his subjects. This is the analogy. So the stars, they recede, they accept his command, and he takes, the moon takes prominence. So the moon has proprietorship over the stars. This is the analogy. And he controls the stars. They become diminished in his presence. So in this analogy, Krishna is the supreme king. He's the king of kings, lord of lords. So as the moon is the proprietor and has control, it owns and controls all the stars, Krishna has proprietorship over all the gopis. All the stars belong to the moon because he's the king and they're his subjects. All the gopis belong to Krishna. Krishna Chandra, because they're his subjects. They're his expansions. They're dependent on him. So there's no impropriety because he's the supreme proprietor. God is the supreme propriety. All he owns, all the gopis, are his direct expansions. This Ladini Shakti Kala. Shakti expansions. So this is one point they say that this word indicates the lordship of Krishna over the gopis. They don't belong to somebody else. They may be apparently married to some other coward boy, but actually he's the king. Just like it may appear that different stars are married to other devas, but Chandra is actually the supreme proprietor of all the stars. This is one point. And so, as the moon has proprietorship over all the stars, Krishna has the supreme proprietorship over all the gopis and all of us. Because we are also expansions of Krishna. Tatastha Shakti. And he has proprietorship, which means actually God owns us. And if we're owned by somebody, that means we should be controlled by somebody. So the philosophical point here, acharyas draw out for the conditioned souls, is that now we are assuming godhood, that I'm the controller, that I'm the proprietor. Sometimes they have this term proprietors, S.K. Gupta and T.N. Gupta, proprietors. They have this term in business, the owners of the business. So we have proprietorship. This is my house. Everything is mine. And then this one word the acharyas are saying in Ras Leela is actually, listen, all conditioned souls who are trying to be lords in their own way, Ishvara, like Ishvara, we should give up our false proprietorship. Give up, because when the moon is not there, when the king is not in the Uddharaj, the full moon is not in the sky, and his presence, then the stars are shining so brightly. The planet Venus, and so many stars and nakshatras, constellations, very brightly shining. You can identify, that's so-and-so nakshatra, that's Dhanishta, that's Swati, that's Hasta nakshatra. You can identify in the Vedic astrology. But then when the moon comes, you can't see them. They give up their proprietorship. The stars give up their proprietorship in the presence of Uddharaj, Purnamasi, or Purnima, and become his subjects. Yes, you're in charge, you're ruling. So the message, very interesting message, Acharya has given us, that the king of all kings is Uddharaj for the stars, but for human beings is Bhagavan. He's the supreme Raj. And we're all shining very brightly in our spheres of influence. We're all star-like entities shining very brightly. I'm the CEO of this or the president of that, or I'm the Mahant of this temple, or this acharya, or whatever. We have our prominence, our illumination, our prabhav. But before God, we should be humble. The meek and humble shall inherit the kingdom of God. So be humble before God. So when God appears, when we recognize that I'm a mini proprietor, a little proprietor, I'm a little, actually a very tiny, tiny, tiny CEO. But there's a big CEO, the chief executive officer is Bhagavan. So the philosophical message of verse 29:2, Uddharaj, is that we conditioned souls suffering miseries and birth and death, we should give up our false proprietorship and accept the true and eternal proprietorship of God. Let God's influence control our lives. Let God's illumination and eminence and brilliance enlighten our minds and hearts as the full moon Uttaraj enlightens the nighttime sky. Very beautiful point. Then another point, they say that Uttaraj means the moon, full moon, who's the king of the stars. So as Uttaraj is presiding over all the stars and taking prominence, now Krishna is also a Chandra. He's Krishna Chandra. Krishna is called Krishna Chandra. And he's also called Rasaraj. Rasaraj Sri Krishna Chandra. So as the moon with his illumination, he illuminates and he stimulates. He stimulates romantic desires in the hearts of men and women. So he has two functions, Chandradev. Illuminate the landscape with light so we can walk through the forest at night. We can do a Govardhan Parikrama at night and see nicely. We can find our way to our kuti in the woods. Easy. This is the moonlight. He illuminates, but he stimulates. What does he stimulate? Many things, especially the hearts of lovers. For someone who's not a lover, or he's old or retired or hasn't grown up, then the full moonlight doesn't do anything. You're sleeping. You don't even know if it rises or sets. You're sound asleep. But other people that are maybe interested in what the full moon is doing, they may be dancing under the moonlight or romancing under the moonlight. The moonlight is a good friend of romantic couples, as romantic couples must be knowing. So this analogy is that this Raja, he's illuminating the landscape, but then he's stimulating the stars because he's the eastern direction, he's rubbing with the reddish color of his rays, her face, the Purvadig Anana, the face or Mukham. So Krishna, he's Rasaraj. He's the king, Krishna Chandra. So this word Uttaraj, they say, indicates that Krishna Chandra, that full moon over Vrindavan, Vrindavan Chandra Sri Krishna, who is Rasaraj, he will actually take precedence over the star-like gopis, the Tara Sakis, the Brajaramani Tara, the Taragana, the Brajaramanis, those beloved gopis and Sakis of Vrindavan who are stars in Krishna's eye. The gopis are the star in Krishna's eye, and he is the moon in their mind. So Krishna, his love, his enchantment will illuminate the hearts of the Braja Gopis, and he'll begin to illuminate them by playing his flute, which will soon appear on the scene in this very verse, next verse. So he's going to act like the moon. The moon has two functions, illuminate the nighttime sky and stimulate the hearts of romantic people. So Krishna Chandra has two functions for his star-like gopis or for his subjects, we followers. That Krishna Chandra moon, if we turn towards that moon, or if we look towards the rays of the Krishna Chandra moon, then our mind will become illuminated. Our hearts will become purified by the cooling, purifying rays of the Krishna Chandra darshan, glance. Because we have this term in English, when one becomes self-realized or he seeks God, we say he's illuminated. He's on the path of illumination. He wants to be illuminated. So the full moon of Sri Krishna Chandra's Kripa will act to illuminate our hearts, illuminate our darkened hearts. Our hearts are darkened and blackened and soiled and contaminated by greed, anger, lust, and envy. When the Krishna moon rises over our hearts, because we are the subjects of the king of all kings is the proprietor over our lives, and the whole planet belongs to him. Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kinchit jagatyam jagat. Ishopanishad says that Isha, that Parameshwara Krishna, he owns and controls everything, even me and my whole factory and everything in it. It all actually belongs to God. He is the rightful proprietor of everything. So when we turn our face to Krishna Chandra, then he illuminates our mind with transcendental knowledge, illumination, vigyan, bhakti vigyan, bhagavat tattva vigyan. And then he stimulates, as the full moon stimulates romantic feelings, and stimulating romantic feelings in Krishna Chandra's heart, and stimulating romantic feelings in the gopis' hearts on this Purnima, Rasa Purnima, Maharas Rasa Purnima. The full moon of Krishna Kripa will not only illuminate us with purity and divine knowledge, Divya Gyan, but it will stimulate us. Krishna's mercy, Krishna's attention will stimulate loving feelings to move in our heart and expand our heart and move us towards Krishna in devotional service. So these are the beautiful divine revelations of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Rasik Jan, Rasik Acharyas. They have such deep perception. We're simply sharing their ideas. When we read Shastra, we fall asleep. We start reading Bhagavad Gita. Dehino shmin yata dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dehantara praptir diras tatra namuyati. We fall asleep. Okay, let's watch TV. Channel 1, 2, 5, 7, 10,000. We read Shastra, we sleep. That's our situation. Manda samanda matyo, manda bhavyo padrita. Kali Yuga. So he's the king and the stars. So this is one analogy. Now, maybe two classes on the moon. This is a very slow class. So you should keep going like this. No, tap, tap, tap. Uddaraj! Uddaraja. So that rasaraj. He stimulates the heart with ras. He illuminates the mind with transcendental divya gyan, tara vidya, bhagavat tattva, jiva tattva, kala tattva, karma tattva, prakriti tattva, gita, bhagavat. We're illuminated. We're realized. Aham brahmasmi, I'm spirit soul, Krishna's eternal servant. But that's not enough. I have a heart. I have intelligence and mind. Okay, you've illuminated my mind and intelligence. What about stimulating my heart? I want to get stimulated. I want to get excited. I want to feel joyful, excited, happy, blissful. I want to dance, sing, kiss, embrace, have love with God. But how does he act to stimulate? Stimulates because he's Rasaraj. He's not only Uduraj, like the moon is the king of the night and Krishna is the supreme king of the night. He's Vrindavan Chandra, Krishna Chandra, Shyam. Then he stimulates, the moon stimulates romantic feelings. So Krishna, when we chant his holy name and we serve him, then he fills our heart with the stimulation of bhakti ras. Bhakti ras. That intoxicating feeling of inner joy and satisfaction that comes by surrendering to Krishna and serving him in love. Shravanam kirtanam. Vishnu, Krishna Smaranam, worshipping him, remembering him, seeing him, singing about him, glorifying him. So this, when bhakti ras flows through the heart and expands through the body and senses and mind, one feels a thrill at every step. He feels happy every day. Blissful. This is the effect of the stimulation of bhakti ras, transcendental love. Bhakti Ras, Prema Ras, Madhurya Ras. This is Rasaraj, Sri Krishna. In Indian culture, this is the second point. In Indian culture, the moon is a great symbol of nourishment, growth, nourishment, health. We have two planets that have been created by Krishna for the health and happiness of the human society and all the living entities. One is Suryadev, the sun planet. He's created to illuminate our work days, to show the way here and there, to nourish our crops, and to nourish the skin and eyes and digestion and health of the human body in the daytime. The sun planet, Suryadev. And then Krishna's created the moon planet. In Gita, Krishna says, I have two eyes in my universal form. In the daytime, I see every living entity because the sun is ek ak,
Surya Ekak, Bhagavan Ekak. Suryadeva is one eye of Bhagavan. And at night, I see everything you're doing with my other eye, Chandra Ak and Surya Ak, the two eyes of God. At night, the sun nourishes and makes our physical body healthy, the bones, the eyes, teeth, skin, etc., digestion. And at night, Krishna's created the moon to nourish our minds, to nourish our minds and our subtle body. Linga Sharir, Shukshma Sharir. Sun is for the external body and moon is for the internal body. Moonshine, moon rays, they're essential for the health of all living entities, whether they be plants or animals or human beings. What to speak of the movement of the oceans and the rising and setting of the tides and the adjustment of the whole balance of the earth. The moon is so important. So this analogy that the moon is a symbol of nourishment is very deep and very interesting. We'll take it from a scientific viewpoint and also a rasa tattva viewpoint. Because many things people don't understand. Acharyas mentioned these things and we of course added something also. But they say that, as everyone knows, the moon nourishes the vegetables and plants and gives the taste. Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita, Soma Bhutva Rasatmaka. Gita, Soma Bhutva Rasatmaka. That I, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, I become Soma. Soma is another name for the moon, Chandra. Chandradev, Soma. I become the moon and I give and I supply and nourish, I provide the ras, the taste. The taste, the swad, the flavor and sweet taste or whatever taste to the vegetables, the vyanjana and the phalam. The fruits and vegetables get their taste from me. So that's the role of the moon and the sun in the daytime. So the moon is essential because without the moon, there's no taste or rasam. Soma bhutva rasatmakam. I give ras. Krishna says in Gita, I become Chandradev, I become Soma, the moon, and I give ras, flavor. What is fruit and vegetable without flavor? So I give that ras, I am the giver of ras. In the daytime, the sun gives chlorophyll that makes the leaves grow, and the whole plant grows, and the tomato grows. But the plants and fruits and vegetables, and we also, because we're living entities also, we need daytime sun, and we need nighttime moon for balanced good health. This is proven. Now here's a very interesting example for our scientific audience, modern audience. Back in the 1970s, when we were in America, science was exploring growing fruits and vegetables in very cold climates. Sweden, Norway, Canada, very cold in the winter. In the summertime and springtime, they have gardens, they have fruit trees and vegetables. But in the winter, everything is covered with snow. So they created greenhouses, a big house of glass, very insulated glass called greenhouse. Huge, like 500 meters, 2,000 meters, huge. And then they made an artificial summer environment or fall environment inside the glass house, a big glass encased garden. And they have lighting. They have special lighting they created called ultraviolet waves. The scientists were able to imitate ultraviolet, which is the wavelength of the sun, and they would grow the vegetables and fruits inside the greenhouse. Okay? Then they took it one step further. Because some places, way up north in Alaska, whatever, there's no soil, it's all ice. So then they melted the ice into water. They made huge fish tanks, huge glass tanks inside the greenhouse. So the greenhouse is taking sunlight and giving some heat. Then these artificial electric ultraviolet lights providing more intense sun rays, more length, more hours per day. Because in the northern hemisphere, the sun rises at 6 o'clock up in Canada and north and sets at 8 o'clock. It doesn't stay up very long, very short time. So then these lights stay on. And in that water, that tank, they put tomato seeds, tomato, and aloe, and gobi and cauliflower and so many seeds inside a tank of water and all kinds of chemical nutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, all these things. Ultraviolet sun, imitation sun rays and all these nutrients. What happened? They put the seeds fructified. First, the seeds were actually grown in soil. That's another side point. This type of gardening is called hydroponic. Hydroponic gardening. To grow fruits and vegetables in water, not earth. Very interesting scientific idea. It worked. In the water, the tomatoes were floating like seaweed on the ocean. Tomatoes are floating in the water, potatoes, everything's growing. Looking like tomato, same color, same consistency. Everything looking like vegetable and fruits. But there was one very important missing element. They harvested the tomatoes and the cauliflower and all the pollock and shock and everything. They said, okay, they sold it to the people, and the people took it and ate it. What kind of tomato is this? What kind of gobi is this? There's no taste. There's no swad. So hydroponic gardening does not, the elaborate arrangement to make a tomato, and all you have to do is put the seed in the ground and you get a tomato. If you're living in an Iceland, and then move somewhere else. If you're living in Iceland, you can't grow any tomatoes, then move to India. Or buy our tomatoes, we'll send them to you. Sell it 500 rupees a kilo. Exported Indian tomatoes, which they do. So this was a failure, although they still try to sell their tomatoes. So something was missing. What was missing? Soma Bhutva Rasatmaka. Krishna says in Gita, I, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, I become Soma. I give the ras. I give the ras. I am Rasaraj. I give the ras to vegetables, the taste, the swad, the pleasure. Imagine a beautiful Alfonso mango, yellow and a little bit reddish. Perfectly ripe, grown on your own tree, organically grown. And then you pluck it off the tree. Then you cut it, offer it to Bhagavan. But you take a sample, and you take it. Oh! It looks exactly like Alfonso. Pucca, first class. Organically grown on my own tree with cow gober and everything. No pesticides, anything. Natural, all natural. Pocha. No taste, nothing. What is a mango with no sweet taste? Nothing. It's a big show. No ras. The mango without ras is no mango. It's like a human without love. What gives flavor to human life? What makes it vibrant? What makes it valuable? What makes it valuable to others and to oneself is love. So if a human is near ras, without ras, prem ras, without love, he's like a mango without sweet taste. He's like a red tomato with no taste. Very interesting. So see how much Krishna is Rasaraj. They created sun rays. I offer my respects to the scientists for creating ultraviolet and sulfur lights and mercury lights. Oh, bless their hearts. But I'm sure they're working on it. Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm trying to make moonshine. Well, better you drink some. If you know what that means. So they're trying to make moonshine. Chandra Prabha. They can't. They haven't yet. And they never will. Because Krishna says, this is me. Soma Bhutva Rasatmaka. I become the moon and I give ras to all the bhutva, to all the living entities. So Krishna in the Gita, it says, I become the moon and supply the juice of life to all the vegetables and fruits that I'm giving to the humans to thrive and survive on. This is Krishna. So the moon in Indian culture represents nourishment. Because without moon, there's no vegetables, no fruits. They don't taste good. We can't eat them. Moon is essential. So that as the moon is essential to life on this planet, the Krishna Chandra moon rays, the full moon rays of Krishna Chandra, Krishna's sweet mercy and divine love is necessary for a human to have shining on his heart and soothing and comforting his mind so he can live peacefully healthily and happily in this material world. It's like growing a tomato without moonshine is tasteless. So living a life without the Krishna shine, without the shine of Krishna Chandra, is like worthless. No taste, no zest, no zest, no flavor, no pizzazz in life. Human life minus God is animal life. And Shastra says, dvipada pashu. Pashu, animal, dvipad, two legs, dvipada pashu. I have two legs, I'm not an animal, I'm not a beast on four legs. But we're living like beasts. So the acharyas say that as they take the analogy further, that Udaraj Chandradev Soma, he gives ras to the vegetables and fruits, and he gives illumination, stimulation to the stars. Similarly, Rasaraj Bhagavan Sri Krishna, when he shines in the hearts of the gopis, or he shines, his prabha shines in the hearts of the surrendered premi bhaktas of Krishna, then he plays his flute, then their hearts fill with ras, madhura ras, that sweet taste of divine love, that exalted feeling of joy that one has when he gives everything to God, that exalted, unsurpassable feeling of joy one experiences when he gives everything to God, coming in the mood and bhav, an example of the Braja Gopis like Radhika, Braja Bhav, Gopi Bhav. This is the experience of the ras of Rasaraj Sri Krishna. So the ras, when Krishna, Rasaraj, when he focuses his love light, his attention, his love in the gopis, he illuminates them, he illuminates their sthayi rati, their love, their madhurya rati, then he stimulates them to love by playing his flute. So that will be in the next verse. He illuminates the hearts of the devotees with his presence. Just like, and that's the next part of the verse. He's Rasaraj. The moon nourishes the vegetables, and Rasaraj Sri Krishna nourishes all his devotees. He nourishes, he feeds, he satisfies, he encourages. He makes the devotees live and thrive with health and vibrance and color and variety, like vegetables, red and green and yellow. So a Premi Bhakta is full of variety, color, attraction, Krishna. This is Rasaraj, the moon of Rasaraj Sri Krishna. Very beautiful explanations by the acharyas. Now, another point, that because the first word here, this verse 29-2, is Uduraj. Tado, tada Uduraja. Tada, at that time. What time? When Krishna wanted the full moon? There it was. God proposes, everyone disposes. Whatever he wants, it happens. Icha Shakti, instantaneously, no work. Krishna only does lila, no work. There's seva and lila. No work in the spiritual world. No karma, no work. Only lila and seva. Seva is not work. Seva is the expression of divine love. Seva. Krishna seva. Radha seva. I'm a sadhaka, a sevaka. And there's Savya Bhagavan, the object of service, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Then there's the Sevak. Sevak Bhagavan means that Sevite or that servant of Bhagavan. Savya Bhagavan, the object and goal of one's service as a loving devotee. And then the Sevak or the Sevite, the Sadak, the devotee, the worshiper, the one who's practicing devotion. So the moon, Rasaraj, Udaraj means nourishment, and ras is what we need. Because sometimes people even meet with each other and say, listen, Sunil, my characteristic. My life, I've been married for 15 years. I've been married for 20 years. I'm dutifully taking care of my family. My wife is good. My children are good. By God's grace, everything is nice. But somehow I feel something's lacking. I feel my life is somewhat tasteless. The taste that I used to get in my early days, that happiness, that thrill of life, that satisfaction from wife and family and friends, it's getting dry, it's getting hackneyed, commonplace. There's something wrong. I don't feel right with myself. And if your friend is religious and dharmic, he's a follower of Bhagavad Dharma, he's actually my friend, Sunil. This is his friend's name is Amit. So Amit says, Sunil, let me tell you, about 10 years ago, I felt the same way. You know, I've been married for 35 years. You're only 20 years. I felt the same way. And I thought, what is it? It's not my wife's fault. It's not my children's fault. It's not my business. Why is it that life is so dry and so mechanical? Go to work, come home, watch the TV, eat, sleep, be with my wife, be with my children. So many it's monotonous, mechanical. I'm feeling bored and tired. But I don't want to commit suicide. That's irreligious. And that's no way out. And I don't want to get divorced because I like my wife. And it's not really acceptable to my family or hers. What to do? Many people find this juncture in life, the blahs, the juncture. So his religious enlightened friend might say, actually, what's missing in your life is rus. You had rus. Everything gives some taste, rus. Business gives some rus, success, pleasure, lordship, success. There's a rus. There's a taste or a flavor of every action. If there's no taste, we can't do it. Some people say, I'd love to make money. I just love to work and make money. That's a rus. That's called prakriti. Prakriti rus. Material, lokik rus. Material rus. A flavor, a sensation, a satisfaction, a thrill. Rus. It lasts for some time. One lifetime, two lifetimes, three lifetimes. In some lifetime or another, your car will run out of gas. And you can't run that car anymore unless you put new petrol or change your car if it's broken. So this trajectory that we're orbiting on, flying on, of eat, sleep, mate, defend, eat, sleep, mate, defend, eat, sleep, work, sleep, eat, work, play, sleep, eat, work, play, sleep, eat, work, play. This is our life, like the karma chakra. It gets dry in some time, in some life, somewhere, to someone. Then we ask the question, what's missing? Where's that thrill? Where's that taste? Where's that joy? I have everything a man could want. A beautiful, faithful wife. Obedient, kind children. Responsible children. Success in business. Name in society. I'm famous. Everything. But I'm unhappy. Why? God has given me everything but happiness. What? My friend said, God has given you everything. He's also given you a chance to find happiness by serving Him. What job? Serving God? I've been serving my wife, my family, my father, my business, my society. You mean serving God will give you taste and happiness? That's right. It will give you ras. Bhakti ras. Amrita. It is amrit. You and I were family men. I was just like you. I was not interested in bhakti or devotion. But somehow someone encouraged me. Now I'm tasting bhakti ras. And it's amrit. Bhakti ras amrita. It's like an ocean. The more bhakti I do, the more I chant about Krishna, the more I chant Krishna's name and sing about Him and worship Him and go on Tirtha Yatras and have sadhusanga, the more joy I feel, the more happiness I feel. I feel hope. I feel encouragement. I feel a taste of love. Somehow, I feel Krishna's love inside of me. It makes me smile. It pacifies my mind. I'm doing everything. I'm having my family. I'm working. But now, there's some new sensation, new thrill. That's called alokik ras. A prakriti ras, spiritual, divine flavor and taste from the loving relationship of submission and service with Bhagavan. Now this is another meaning of Udaraj. He's a source of ras. And Udaraj Sri Krishna, the king of all the star-like jivas and star-like gopis, he fills the heart with ras. Imagine how much ras those star-like celestial gopis are enjoying dancing with Krishna under the Krishna Chandra moon and embracing the Krishna Chandra in their arms. This is the ras of the ras lila. We can taste it by surrender, dedication, and offering our love to Krishna. So the moon in India, because people have the science of astrology and they understand how the grahan, Jupiter, let's say Guru grahan, Jupiter, or Shukra, Venus, or Chandra, Soma, the moon, and Surya, the sun, they influence us. They give us, they are delegated, these planetary lords, Chandradev, Suryadev, etc. they're delegated and ordained by Bhagavan Sri Krishna to dish out our dessert and to dish out our punishment, to dish out our good results of our karma and to distribute or award us or punish us according to our karma. That's their duty. So sometimes people say, oh, I'm suffering from grahan dosh, planetary difficulties. My chandra is very weak in my chart. So I'm having difficulty. Because Chandradev, Soma, Uttaraj, he's the lord of the mind. As we know, moon rays, full moon rays are very soothing to the passionate mind. They're very soothing. One who has a passionate, hot mind. Passion means heat. Rajagun means heat, movement, passion, excitement, agitation, disturbance. Rajagun. He's not shanti. He's Raja. So he's hot. So the shamak. When you have a hot head, you have to do shamak. You have to cool it, balance it. So cooling moon rays are very soothing for a hot head or a hot heart. That's Krishna's medicine for the mind. The moon is medicine for the mind. Man Oshadi is Chandra. So in Veda, Nayurved, Jyotirved, in India, this science is deeply known, how the planets control and influence us, and how to placate and pacify the planets, to puja, worship, mantra, wear different jewels, ratna. Specifically, we're talking about moon, planet, Uttaraja, Tado Uttaraja, Kakuba Karer Mukham. Uttaraja, the Purnima, full moon. The moon is the lord of the mind. He controls the mind of men, women. And when one has a weak moon planet in his Janam Kundali, his chart, then the Jyotishi will say, you should wear one Moti Ratna. One pearl ring on your finger. I believe on this finger, is it right? This finger. On this finger, wear a Moti Ratna ring. Excuse me, pinky. Pinky finger, this finger. This is sun planet. What's this one? This is Saturn. Middle finger is Saturn. This is Saturn. This is sun. This is sun finger. Ruby on this finger. This is Saturn. This is Jupiter. This one I don't know. At any rate, so we have difficulty with the moon. They will prescribe wear a Moti Ratna, a pearl ring, to help pacify. It's called Chandra Grahan Dosh Shamak. Shamak, to pacify, to reduce the negative bad influence of the moon planet, which is only, it's negative because we have negative karma in relation to the moon, and he's giving us the results of our bad karma. It's not his fault, it's our fault. If the postman comes with a letter and says, it comes from your boss, and says, actually, you're fired. So you open it up and says, don't come to work on Monday, you've been fired from the job. You've been dismissed from the job. So, then you take the postman. Hey! What's this bad news? You rascal, you fired me from my job. Come on. I'm the postman, man. Lay off. I'm just giving you the news. Sometimes the news is good, sometimes the news is bad. So don't blame the planets. Don't blame Chandradev or Surya. Ah, Suryadev, you... No, they're the postmen giving us the letters of our karma. Here's a happy letter. Enjoy. Oh, I'm in good times now. Money, women, men, fame, everything nice. Ooh. Now I'm in bad times. I had a heart attack. My factory burned down. The moon is the controller of the mind. So as the moon controls the mind and controls all the stars, that full moon of Krishna Chandra, he's going to control the moonlight gopis with his love, with his prem jyoti, with the effulgence of his love. He's going to control their minds. If you control someone's mind, you can make them do what you want, right? But Krishna Chandra, he's the full moon, Chandra, Chandrama Sri Krishna. He has the power to control the minds of the gopis. How does he do it? By winking. But especially by playing the flute. Which we'll find out soon in verse 3. That he plays his flute and controls their mind. As the moon rays control our mind. That's very interesting. This entity called the mind. The mind is very difficult to control. As we know, we can't control our minds, what to speak of our wives or husbands. They have a phrase, physician heal thyself. So if I'm a doctor, if I cure myself of the disease, then I can cure you also. So the husband has an uncontrolled mind. He can't control his own mind, and so does the wife. So how can a wife control the husband's mind, and how can the husband control the wife's mind? They can't. So controlling the mind is the pivot point to yoga. Yoga means mind control, controlling the mind. Krishna says in Gita, our man can be a mitra or an ari. Our mind can be our best friend, can be our priya bandhu. Meri, meri man, meri man, meri priya bandhu hai. Whatever, something. My mind is my dear friend. How would you say it? Mera. Yeah, because it's masculine. Mera man priya bandhu hai. My Krishna says, if your mind is transcendental, if your mind is offered to God and filled with thoughts of God, savai mana Krishna padaravindayor, like Ambarish Maharaj, if the mind is filled with godly thoughts, good deeds and sanctified and shlokas and verses and bhajans and songs, then your mind is your priya bandhu. Mera priya bandhu, hey. My mind is my best friend because in my mind, when I sleep in my subconscious, I see Krishna. Krishna vilas, swapna vilas amritam. I see Radha, I see Krishna. When I wake up, I see my murtis and I see in everyone's heart Krishna. I see Krishna everywhere. I see Krishna in all around me in so many ways. But it's not very easy. The Krishna controls the mind of the gopis. So this, how do we control the mind? Because if we can't control the mind, we can't control the senses. Without mind and sense control, there's no yoga. There's absolutely no yoga at all. It's only imitation. It's only gymnastics. It's only health, keeping the body fit. Yoga means connection with God. Yoga. Atma, Paramatma. The connection through jnana. The connection through bhakti. Connection through karma. Somehow be connected. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga. We're followers of the bhakti yoga path. We're not connecting with the mind of God through jnana yoga. We're not connecting with the hands or the working of God or instrumentals of God through karma yoga. We're connecting with the heart of God through bhakti yoga. A bhakti yogi has a heart-to-heart relationship with someone. Heart-to-heart relationships are unbreakable, but mental relationships are breakable. I love you in my mind, but not really. We can break that type of love. So in Gyan Yoga or Karma Yoga, not so powerful as Bhakti. Because only Bhakti and only pure love controls Krishna. That's his greatest quality. That's his most outstanding quality. Karma doesn't control Krishna. Gyan doesn't control Krishna. Krishna gives rewards. You want Brahma Suja Mukti by Gyan Yoga? Take it. You want Karma Phal, Swarga Mukti, Karma Phal. By Karma Yoga, Varnashram Dharm, Karma Yoga. You take it, enjoy your material fruits. You won't get me, you won't get Mukti, you won't get Vaikuntha. Stay in the land of karma. Bhur Bhava Swa. Relishing your karma phala. But me, you want to really get me, you have to get my heart. As everyone knows, if you catch someone's heart, you've caught everything. If that girl in college catches your heart, Haribol. She has your whole life till you're 99 years old. Once you catch the heart, you have everything. If I only catch someone's mind, it's here today, gone tomorrow. Here, we have a phrase in America, fly by night friends. Fly by night. The friend comes in the day and he flies away at night. The bird comes in the day, eats the gehun and the chickpeas, chana you put on the roof. At night, you don't see him, he flies away. Fly by night, friends. They're there when you have money and fame and you're healthy and have good times. Oh, so many friends. And when you're down and out and suffering your hard times, oh, where's all my friends? Because they're mental friends. Mental friends. Here today, gone tomorrow. But if it's a heartly friend, he'll be in the hospital when you're suffering. He's not even your relative. He's your Priya Bandhu friend. He'll come every day and bring you some Mahaprasad from the temple. Even your own relatives won't come. You're in the hospital for 2 months. That's your Priya Bandhu. So this is Krishna. He has this relationship.
He establishes this moon is the mind. We're talking about how to control the mind. The moon controls the mind. People try to control their mind by a pearl ring. Now I want to ask a question. Honest question. You can send your answers to KRSNA 108. How many people, because I also went this way, one time someone gave me a pearl ring. Oh, Swamiji, you're crazy. Swamiji, you're crazy. You need big pearl ring. So I had for one day. I went crazy and gave it away. My question is, how many people that are wearing a pearl ring on their finger that are watching, they have one Moti Ratna on this finger, how many people are wearing that ring or actually have control of their minds? Simply by wearing this ring on your finger, you are controlling your mind, which the moon controls your mind. It makes romantic, it stimulates romance, the moon rays, and illuminates the world. So you have that pearl ring, and somebody promised you, listen, my friend, it's only 7,000 rupees. Only 7,000. I'll give you this pearl ring. Oh, no problem. Vigna Vinash. Sub Vigna Vinash. Sankut. Sankut Ratna. Sankut? Sankut. How do you say? Sankut Ratna. This is Sankut Moti Ratna. You put that on. Oh, no problem. Everything goes. How many have a pearl finger on your, pearl ring on your finger? And your minds are peaceful, cool like the full moon rays, and you feel no agitation. Oh, I'm fully under control. For only 7,000 rupees, I took full control of my mind. Obviously, the answer is N-O. Impossible. Arjuna tells Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, nobody can control the mind. Chanchalahimana Krishna. It's chanchal, that's the nature. Who can control the mind, my dear Lord Krishna? It's impossible. It's like trying to catch the wind. There's a tufan in Bombay. There's a tsunami. Hey, go catch it. Oh, I got it. Don't worry. No waves in Bombay Beach. No wind. No flooding. I caught it in my hand. Impossible. A fool's proposal. Same idea of controlling the mind with the pearl ring. How is it possible? Can someone say that happened? I have full control of my mind and senses. The shut indriya. Five working senses, the body, just by that. However, there is a way to control the mind. Because Krishna Chandra is that full moon, as Uttaraj. So Krishna Chandra, as the full moon, has some control over the vegetables and living entities, and does definitely have an influence on our mind, definitely. But whether or not a pearl ring will give us the power and blessings of Chandra to fully control my mind, our minds, that's highly doubtful. It's possible, but I have not to this day meet many people traveling on the trains in India, preaching, and they're wearing a pearl ring. And I say, my dear Mr. Gupta, Mr. Banerjee, why do you have that pearl ring? He says, oh, you know, my friend, he suggested this is very good. It helps pacify the mind. It's very cooling. I'm a very hot-headed businessman, and it cools me down. I say, is it working? Yes, yes, it's helping. I say, wait a minute, look me in the eyes. Honestly tell me, has this really changed the course of your crazy mind? Has it really cooled down your mind? You really honestly, you swear on the Bhagavad Gita, put your hand on the Bhagavad Gita and say, yes, I 100% believe that this pearl ring did the trick. When I say that, they say, actually, Swamiji, I have a lot of doubts. But, you know, once I spent that 7,000 rupees, I got attached. You know, and it looks pretty good on my hand anyway. It looks pretty good on my finger. I said, listen, my friend, I have no ratna. I have no ratna. I have no gold chains. I have nothing. What do I have? Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. In Padma Pran, Narada Muni in Padma Pran is giving the solution. how to control the mad monkey mind, how to control the wind-like, tempest-like, tufan-like mind of man and woman. It says, Sarva Upadhi Vinir Muktam Tat Pratvena Nirmalam Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhaktiruchate. Sevanam Bhaktiruchate. Bhakti Seva Rishika, he says, Sarva Upadhi Vinir, he says, Rishikesh Rishikena. Rishikena. Everyone's heard of Rishikesh? You've heard of Haridwar and Rishikesh. You've maybe gone there, bathed in the Ganga. We lived there in 1981. We had one center there with a group of devotees. We were preaching Krishna Bhakti, going to Haridwar and meeting all these mahants and whatnot and people. So we stayed there. There's a center. Met a few brahmacharis, sannyasis living there, cooking and going out for pravachan, bhajan programs, preaching programs. Rishikesh, very beautiful place. This is back in 1981. 1981 is 30 years ago. And it was very nice. Haridwar was a little crowded, busy, because it's the dham. Rishikesh was all yogis and caves and very beautiful Ganga there. Very beautiful. Every day taking Ganga snan. Very nice. Rishikesh. Isha. Ish means controller, master, lord. And Rishika. Rishika means senses, indriya. Rishik, Isha, Rishikesh, Rishika. Rishika means the indriya, the panch indriya, the eyes. There's six indriyas. The eyes, the nose, the mouth, the ears, the tongue, the touch, and the mind, man. Man is the indriya raj. The indriya raj is the man, the mind. Impossible to control. But by Rishikesh Bhakti, so uchite. Padma Puran Sri Narada Muni, Mahajan Narad Rishi, he's telling, yes, you can control the mind. Put Krishna Chandra there. Rishikesh is another name for Krishna, not the Namam. Rishikesh Sri Krishna. Keep Krishna Chandra in your mind and see him everywhere. Then the mind will be controlled. Rishikesha. That is the only way to control the senses. And the mind is by keeping God there. So the gopis always had Krishna in their mind. He was the Krishna Chandra, shining, soothing, loving rays on their mind and heart. And they're always remembering them. How to remember Krishna wherever we go? How to see Krishna? Krishna gives the idea how to always be connected with the control of the senses. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells how to remember him. And by remembering Krishna and seeing Krishna everywhere, we can't forget him. And then because we're remembering him, he'll help us control our senses and he'll help us control our minds, and we'll be peaceful wherever we go because Krishna will be with us because we're seeing him. How does Gita describe? Because people, modern young people of the world, especially in India, they say, oh, Bhagavad Gita is ancient history. It's irrelevant. It's unscientific. It's meaningless. Who cares? The Bhagavad Gita is the best source of knowledge in the whole universe. Gita Upanishad, all the thousands and hundreds of Upanishads and Upa Upanishads, all condensed into one 700 verse book, Bhagavad Gita. This is the Gita Upanishad. Gita means the essential song. Imagine all the 108 Upanishads, 108 Upanishads personified as rishis. 108 Upanishads and all the Upa Upanishads. Thousands and thousands of Upanishads in Ved. All those rishis, they came personified. They started singing together in harmony. Isa Upanishad, Kena Upanishad, Katha Upanishad, Shvetashvatara Upanishad, Chaturiya Upanishad. So many Prashna Upanishads. Many, many Upanishads. Thousands. They all get together and sing in harmony. Singing means Geet, song. And what would they sing if they all gathered together and sang one song, like we have Jai Hind, Jai Mother Bharat. What is it called? Mahabharat. That's the one song for India, yes? Jai Hind, Bharat Mata, isn't it? So this is our national theme song, our national anthem, Jai Hind. Jai Hindu nation, Jai Hindu people, Jai Hindu Dharma, all these things, nothing Dharma. So we sing that every year on Independence Day, on January What is it? 26. We all get together and hold hands. Oh, that's one is one and one's the other. One's the Constitution. August 15th, a few days ago, we all sang in harmony. Now everyone's happy and harmonious. Jai Hind. At least that's the idea. It's desirable. We're all trying for that. So now, that's the one song for 1.5 billion people. Now imagine eight geek, one song for all the thousand Upanishads. If they all get together and sang one song, listen, rishis, munis, let's sing one common song which unifies all of our tattvas and unifies all of our siddhantas and all the Upanishads. What would that song be? It would be called Geet Upanishad. Geet Upanishad means the song of all the collective Upanishads. It's a national anthem. The national anthem or song for all the Upanishads. What is it? Sarva dharman prityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami mahashucha. The song of all the Upanishads is the Bhagavad Gita. That's why Adi Shankaracharya, he glorified, he said Bhagavad Gita is the Gita Upanishad. He wrote a Sanskrit, he wrote a Gita Mahatmyan, or a Gita Mahima, glorifying Bhagavad Gita. How beautiful, how sweet, how essential, how powerful it is. Adi Shankaracharya. So this is the Gita. It's telling this message. So we're talking about controlling the mind. Krishna Chandra, the Lord of the mind. As the moon planet is the Lord of the mind, minds of men, Krishna Chandra, Rasaraj, Madhurya Rasaraj Sri Krishna, Vatsalya Rasaraj, Sakya Rasaraj, Dasya Rasaraj. But in this context of the love story of Rasalila, he's appearing as the Madhurya Rasaraj Sri Krishna, Shyam Sundara Govinda Pyariji. He's not lording over the stars or proprieting or over the stars. He's lording over his gopis, his loving gopis. He's taken proprietorship over his expansions of Vrajaramani. And he's lording, he's going to be the lord of the gopis' mind. Krishna, as the moon is the lord of the stars, and the moon is the controller and the lord of our minds as human beings, Krishna is the controller and the lord of the minds of the gopis, that Krishna Chandra, that Madhurya Rasaraj. This is what the acharyas say, this Udaraj. That Udaraj means Rasaraj. That moon means Krishna Chandra. And those stars that he's lording over mean the star-like celestial gopis. So the gopis' minds are controlled by Chandra? No. By the moon planet? No. By, not by the moon planet, but by Krishna Chandra. By his praying. Love controls all. And Krishna's praying controls the gopis, and the gopis, Krishna praying controls them. So we're discussing how Bhagavad Gita is relevant, how it's the Gita Upanishad, how it's applicable and useful for every man and woman in India and around the world. Because the Bhagavad Gita teaches practically, systematically, and scientifically how to remember God and how to see Him everywhere. When you're seeing God and remembering God everywhere, that means you're not forgetting Him. When you forget God, then you can't control your mind. When you forget God and you're separated from God, it's impossible to control the mind. When you're connected to God, by serving, by remembering, by praying, so many ways to remember God, so many ways to be connected to God. Prahlad Maharaj in 7th canto of Bhagavatam, he tells 9 primary ways. 9 ways to see God everywhere and remember God everywhere. Which means your mind will be controlled. Prahlad Maharaj, millions of years ago in Satyuga, he gave a 9-step program to remember God. And as I said, the premise is, the axiom is, if we remember God here and there and everywhere, our minds will be peaceful, our hearts will be happy, and our minds will be controlled. And our dealings with everyone will be harmonious, balanced, successful. We'll make no enemies. Ajata Shatru, like Yudhisthira. What does Prahlad Maharaj say? His 9-step program. Shravanam, Krishna Smaranam, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, serving, Archan, Puja, worship, prayers, becoming a surrendered Das of Krishna Das Anodas, Krishna Dasi Anodasi, and then becoming intimate and friendly and feeling God is like a friend. First, God is my master. God is the master, Lord of everyone. No, God is my friend. Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. Dasyam, he's my master, God is my Lord and master, provider, protector. Yes, that's Dasya of types. Then, actually, God does all that, but any good friend automatically does that. If I have a good friend, he'll protect me. He'll take care of me. He'll do everything what God does. But better than just protection and nourishment is love. So my friend, he'll care for me, like Dasya. But Sakya, so Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. So Sakya means God is my friend. He's not only my master, but he's a loving master. He's like a friend, not like a master, but like a friend. I can reveal my mind. He inspires me like a friend. I feel close to him, like a bandhu. Then even higher than friendship is divine love. Conjugal love. Atmanavedanam. That's, I just surrendered everything to God, like a gopi, like Mirabai. Mirabai, she was in this Swakya Bhav, that Giridhari, that Draupadi, she's my husband, and I'm his eternal wife. This Bhav, Madhurya, conjugal love. Or, I'm Krishna's gopi, Nimbarkis. Nimbarkis, they have this Sakhi Bhav. I'm Krishna's gopi, and I'm serving Radha and Krishna as gopi, Nimbark. Or the Gaudiya Sampradaya, they have the idea, I am gopi, but I am a maidservant. I am a dasi of Radharani. I am Radharani Palyadasi. Ami, in Bengali, Ami Radhika Palyadasi. I am Radharani is my mistress. She's my swamini. I am a tender gopi. I'm protected by Radharani. I'm maintained by Radharani. So this is a Gaudiya conception. The Mandri Bhav, this Pransaki Bhav. Serving Radharani. So this idea Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita, how to control the mind and remember him everywhere, Prahlad gives this formula. But then Krishna speaks himself. Listen, rasoham apsukonteya prabhasmi shashisuriya pranavasaravedeshu shabda ke purushamnishu. This is from Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, I'll teach you. My book is relevant. It's scientific. It's useful. You can practice and use it. It's a day-to-day manual. It's a day-to-day guidebook how to live happily and peacefully and successfully in this material world. And then come back home, back to Godhead. Go to the spiritual world at death. So first of all, we have to engage. You can remember me by singing about me. So I tell you that. Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam. Gita says, Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam. Always sing about me, Krishna says. Do Kirti, Kirtan. You go here and there, you sing some Hindi songs about Krishna, Radha, or you chant Maha Mantra, the Radha Krishna Yuga Maha Mantra. Radha Krishna Yuga Maha Mantra is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And other groups like Nimbarkis, they have also Radha Krishna Yuga Maha Mantra, but they say, Radha Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham, Sham Sham, Radhe Radhe. It's the same Radha and Krishna, and a different variation with a different emphasis. So you can sing. Then Krishna says in this Gita verse, Rasoham Apsukonteya. Do you ever drink water? Is water, drinking water is scientific? Is drinking water relevant? Is drinking water necessary? Is it modern, contemporary? Yes. Jal Jivan. Water is necessary for health. So Krishna says, Rasoham in Gita. Rasaham, Rasaham, Apsukonteya. Apsu, Sanskrit. When I am that nice taste in water. So whenever you drink water, you remember God. Ah, Krishna's taste. Or I'm the taste in orange juice because I become, if there's no sunshine for your vegetable juice. I mean, no moonshine. There's no taste. So when you're taking vegetable juice, Gaja Ras or all these type of juices, that taste in that juice is coming from the moon influence. Soma Bhutva Rasatmaka. The moon is me. I am in the taste of the vegetables. Prabhasmi Shashi Suryayo. Prabhasmi. The Prabha, the Jyoti, the effulgence. You come out on a brilliant sunlit winter morning. In a winter morning in North India, the rising sun that feels so soothing and comforting. And health-giving, the morning rays, the sun, the Prabha. So when you see that effulgence of the sun and feel those health-giving rays on your face in the winter morning, ah, hi Bhagavan, this is your Prabha. And Gita, you're telling this effulgence, this health-giving rays, this is you. I'm seeing you in these rays. And Shashi Suryo. Shashi means moon planet. And after the hot days of the summer, the full moon rises and cools the landscape and cools the land and earth. And our minds become cool. And we see that Jyoti, that Chandra Jyoti, that Prabha, that effulgence is Krishna. Then, Pranava Sarvavedeshu, Krishna says in Gita, Sarvaveda, I am the Pranava Omkara. Everyone in India has some guru mantra, some mantra they chant. And every single mantra, no matter who your Ishtadeva is, it begins with Om Namo Shivaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Sri Chandraya Namaha. Om. The universal seed mantra of transcendence. Om. The universal seed mantra of transcendence. The representative God. Krishna says in Gita, I am that Om. You're chanting Om and worshipping Shiva. You're chanting Om and worshipping Suryadev. They're all my expansions. They're all part of the divine firmament. Shiva, Brahma, Indra, everyone. Vishnu, I am the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, mata sarvam pravartate. So we can't avoid, I chant Om. Some people just chant Om. That's Krishna. And when you chant Om, you can think, actually, this is Krishna. He's a pranava. Pranava. Pran means the life. The pranava, every mantra has life. Why does it have life? Because Krishna is there, the origin of all life, the origin of all avatars, the origin of all demigods. Jagat Pate. Krishna is the origin of all the devas and devis. They all come from him. He's the Ekopahusham. So Krishna is in every mantra we chant. Om Sri Ganeshaya Namaha. Om Sri Saraswati Namaha. Any mantra begins with Om. Because Krishna is there, power is there. Because he's the source of all power. He's a Sarva Avatari, the source of all creation. So Krishna is there. Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. We can't avoid Krishna. We may be worshipping Shiva. We say Om, that represents Krishna. And Namo Shivaya represents Namo Shivaya. Na Ma. Om Namo Shivaya. Om Namo Shivaya. Na Ma, that's for Shiva. Om, that's Krishna. According to Bhagavad Gita. Pranava Sarvavedeshu. I am the Pranava. Prana. What is Pranayama? Prana means the life. The life, the essence of life, the Prana, which expands from the consciousness. The Prana is the Pancha Pran. The Prana, the Samana, Udana, Vyanjana, all these life airs. All these five life airs, that gives movement and energy, facility to the body. And that's Krishna. Pranava, so Pranava Sarvavedeshu, of all the mantras in the Vedas, all the puja mantras and all the prayer mantras, the prana of that mantra is Krishna. Krishna's Praneshvara, Bhagavan, the origin of everything. His power, his blessing is there in the mantra. So Om, we invoke the Pranava Omkara, Krishna. And then we petition the demigod. We say Namo Shivaya, Namo Ganeshaya, Na Ma. Na Ma, Ma, Ma means ego, hankara, false prestige, false lordship, godhood, Ma. And Na means nay, not. We say Om Namo Shivaya, O my Ishtadev, O Shivaya, O Bholanath. First I approach you by saying Om. Then I say Namo. I offer my ego at your feet. I am Sharanagata to you, Lord Shiva. Om Namo Shivaya. Na Ma. I'm approaching you, Lord Shiva, with no ego, no hankara. I'm your worshiper. Om Namo Shivaya. So this is another way to remember Krishna if we're chanting any particular mantra. Or you see written somewhere, Om this, Om that. Oh, Krishna's there. Then, Shabda ke purusham nrishu. Shabda ke purusham nrishu. The same verse. Rasoham apsukonta. Raso aham apsukonteya prabhasmi shashi sriyo pranavasarvavedeshu shabda ke purusham nrishu. Shabda, shabda, sound, ke, sky, ether, we say in English, ether, you say calm, calm. Or that ether is the medium for carrying sound. You make a vacuum. In science, they have something called a vacuum tube. A vacuum means they extract everything. There's no air, there's no ether. So if you try to put sound through a vacuum tube, no sound will pass through that tube. Because it's the equivalent of the ionosphere. Way beyond this earth layer, there's the ionosphere, stratosphere, ionosphere, there's different layers. So when you get up in the highest realms, way up in space, there's no gravity. There's no ether, and there's no sound. It's dead silence up there. It's just the whole way up there. So that's where they go up in the spaceship and everything starts floating. So Krishna says, Shabdake Purusham, I am the sound and ether. We're surrounded by sounds. Everywhere it's a world of Shabda, sound. I'm not saying Shabda Brahman. There should be spiritual sounds. Shastra Vakya, Guru Vakya, Kirtan, Bhajan, Mala, Mantra. That's Shabda Brahman. Spiritual sound vibration, transcendental vibration. But Shabda, Krishna says in Gita, Shabdake, I am the sound and ether. So whenever you hear a sound, oh, that's Krishna. Your wife calls you, hey, Prabhu. Oh, that's not my wife calling me, that's Krishna. Actually, it's your wife. So how can we avoid remembering God? He is sound. If we hear a sound vibration, he is that sound being carried in the ether, which is enabling us to hear. Easy to remember Krishna. Then he says, this is another beautiful way to remember Krishna. Purusham Rishu. Purusham means Purusha, means human being, Manush, human, man, woman. Purusham Nrishu Aham, I, Bhagavan, and the source of talent, abilities, skills. There's no such thing as a self-made man. We have a term, I am a self-made man. I got education. I struggled hard. I got all the degrees. I established this factory. I'm self-made man. I'm not dependent on anyone, not even God. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely wrong. Everyone is a self-dependent, successful man if they're lucky. We all depend on God. I'm independent, self-made man, and he's proclaiming his bogus philosophy. And also, oh, I'm paralyzed. Can't move my hand. Can't move my fingers. Can't even move my mouth. Doctor, what happened? You had a stroke. Now you're finished. So God, you are dependent on God. He's withdrew the energy from your body. The ability to move your hand, that comes from Krishna. The ability to open your mouth and speak, that's Krishna. The ability to win the tennis championship. The ability to win the cricket, whatever you call it, quick cricket match. That comes from Krishna. The ability to make a killing in the market, stock market, that's Krishna. But do we ever think like that? Do we ever remember Krishna when we have all these abilities? I can dance, I can sing. It's me. I can dance. I'm singing, I'm speaking, I'm making money. Aham Karta. But Krishna says, Adi Karta is me. I am the original doer. I'm allowing you, according to your destiny, to have success or failure, whatever you deserve. God is the source of ability, skills, and talents in everyone. Nobody else. Not me. God is given, we have a phrase in English, God-given talents. Have you ever heard this phrase? Skills, abilities. So this is told in Gita. How to remember God? You give some, you're a musician, and you give a flute recital. And everyone says, very good, very good. I'm giving an example. Famous person, world famous and very expert, talented musician. The talent comes from God. The ability comes from God. The remembrance, how does he remember all those ragas? So how does a musician, an expert musician, how does he remember Malara Raga, Dhanashri Raga? Because that memory is Krishna. As Krishna tells another place in the Gita, you want to see me? Do you ever remember anything? Do you remember your wife's name? I hope so. Do you remember your cell phone number? Do you remember your address? That memory is me. Krishna says, Sarvasya chahamriti sanivishto matat smitir gyanam aponam cha. But Krishna is everywhere around us. This is a scientific book. We're thinking something. Oh, what is that? What is that? Like a devotee, for example, he's trying to remember something. A shloka, some lila, some pastime from Ramayana, Mahabharata, or Bhagavatam. And he can't think. And he's thinking, what is that? What is it? What is it? And then he prays. Because he always says, Sharna, he prays to Krishna. He doesn't think, I'll find it. I know it. It's He tries different techniques to remember, going A, B, C. Can't click. Can't get association. Memory not working. Oh, it's a bad day. Devotee always turns to Krishna. Krishna Sharanagati. Hey, Bhagavan. So he says, Krishna, please give me memory. Because memory comes from you. Ability comes from you. Talent comes from you, not me. I'm simply a bag of bones and skin and a collection of karma, good and bad. What can I do without your sanction? I can't move my hand without your sanction. Not, as they say in Christianity, not a blade of grass moves without the will and sanction of God. Our pinky finger cannot move without the blessings of God. The ability to move our pinky finger comes from God, not me. I'll move my finger. If you have a stroke and you're frozen, you're paralyzed, you can tell your finger 10,000 times, hey, I'm a self-made man. I'm the controller. Ishwaraham, aham bogi. Siddham balavan suki. Listen, finger, move. I said, bend. Hey. He's not bending. Why? Because you're paralyzed. You lost control because you never had control. Ishvara Parama Krishna. The supreme controller is Krishna. When we realize that and wake up and surrender, then our lives will take on a new flavor and a new dimension. This is the lesson for today. Many devotees here know us and they've attended our classes. But never in my life have I preached to millions of people around the world. This is a gift by my guru and the ability is his. So we can try to stay and please all of your hearts with talking so much rasa. And please forgive me for that. I'm not a rasic. I don't know anything. I can repeat something. But as you well know, if you've heard any of my classes, I usually, Bhajan Rahasyam, Rahasyam, I stay on the point. I don't start preaching about you're not the body. So obviously, I'm being guided and directed by my guru. I'm a servant of my guru. Prabhupada wanted Western people to stay in India and preach to the West, to the Indian people. I'm stupid. I never learned Hindi. I would have done this in Hindi. My time wasn't right, and it wasn't. So it happened somehow. I don't know how. Even it's all the finances is all paid for by people I never met. It's not Shishya. I don't even know who they are. So it's Prabhupada's will. I've been living in India. I became Indian citizen, but I haven't been able to touch the Indians except my translation of my books in Hindi by one of my students. This is all Prabhupada's will. So please forgive me. I'm not satisfying your rasa Trishna. You have intense thirst for rasa. But if Prabhupada was here, he may, alone with his handful of, you're all rustic bhaktas and serious devotees. So you say, where's the Ras? You know, where's Ras Leela? It's the Bhagavad Gita. You think I don't know? You think it's not deliberate? You think it's not planned? But I'm trying to please my Gurudev, and I think he'll be pleased. The 20 million, 30 million, I don't know how many, who can tell. People are hearing about our Krishna consciousness philosophy. As it is, as best as I can represent it. So, forgive me and bless me that I can keep speaking and don't become paralyzed. I'm a servant of my guru. So I'm sure if I said, Prabhupada, guess what? This is, incidentally, if you're wondering, this is the first time anybody has spoken in English on Indian television about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, it has nothing to do with me. It's all his wish. Das osmi. I'm sorry. I don't even know what nectar is. I'm just a, blind postman. How will a blind postman deliver the mail? Imagine. A blind, do you understand English? A blind postman. Yeah, where's the house? Hey, where's Mr. Smith? Mr. Jones, here's your mail. So my qualification to speak about rasa is like a blind postman's qualification to distribute the mail.